Joining us now in studio, the state legislature isn't in session, but the work continues to negotiate on several bills. State Representative Christy Purcell. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Logan. You look so great in that seat.
Oh, well, thank you.
Doesn't he? We have the millennial / Gen Z version of the morning show of yesterday and today.
I'm into it.
which has had a remarkably old music in it this morning, too. So, but yes, indeed.
And much love to Rich. And yeah. Excited for him to come back, but also excited for him to take a break, you know?
Yeah.
He's got it.
Indeed.
Right?
Indeed.
Got it.
Well, the kind of the legislature is up in working on all sorts of bills right now, and negotiations are underway on several of those. We're not going to go over all of them because they're all at different phases and negotiations. The governor and the legislative leaders are meeting yesterday. You are part of the work group on one of those negotiations about the environmental bill.
Correct.
What's going on with that?
So yesterday I got to go up to St. Paul, and it's no longer a conference committee. So we call it a conference committee when it is senators and representatives who come together to try to craft a bill. It's basically, you know, The Senate passed their version of environment bill. The House passed our version of environment bill. And then we have to reconcile those together.
Sure, sure.
And so when we're in session, that is called a conference committee. But apparently when we're out of session and we have to still keep working on it, it's called a work group. So yesterday was a work group meeting. Mm-hmm. So it was a public-facing meeting. It's on the YouTube.
On the YouTube.
Yes. So you can see it, and it's basically just a walkthrough of the bill. There was no voting on anything because we're not in session. There was no public testimony again because we're not in session. So it was a little perfunctory. Members did get to ask questions of the nonpartisan staff and then of the commissioners.
Sure.
So the environment bill covers Department of Natural Resources, the DNR, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, the MPCA, Bowser, the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and then there's a little bit of funding that the state helps with the Minnesota Zoo Science Museum. But it's kind of those like three state agencies are the big ones.
Sure, sure.
I mean, Bowser's not that big, but the MPCA and the DNR
are pretty significant. Yes,
are pretty significant. Yes. So it's good that we have that like public. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even a hearing.
Information session.
Yeah, there you go. A meeting with the nonpartisan staff to just walk through the dollars, and I'm holding a how many 12-page spreadsheets to.
And it's not a normal printer page. It's like the big.
Yeah,
the big pages.
It's the legal pages. You know it at the end of session when you go into committee and they give you a ruler, and I've dreaded the ruler. Now I kind of love the ruler. It's clear, and in the middle there's like a kind of a highlighted middle section. Now this spreadsheet is just like all highlights, so I just used the edge of the ruler yesterday. But I used to really dread ruler season when you'd go through these massive spreadsheets and try to, you know, there's so many different columns on here and different lines. I've learned now kind of how to read the spreadsheet, how to interpret it more. But then you know, the spreadsheet is kind of the cheat sheet for the budget, and then I have in my hot little hands 167-page bill that does the kind of the narrative and the text work of what the spreadsheet says. And this is a small bill compared to what we will see that has yet to come from the E-12 education bill, from human services, and then I was on the health committee. The health bill is being combined with children and families. So I imagine that's going to be a really massive chunk of papers.
So in this large document you've just set on our desk, it's all the budget and kind of policies you want to go with that budget for the next 2 years, right? In this department, mostly the DNR and the Pollution Control Agency.
Yep, correct. Okay. And I mean, the word "want" is not the word that I would use.
Yeah.
So people have asked, you know, how is this session compared to the first two? And of course, it's preferable to be in the majority and be able to make make the laws and mm-hmm. make the budget. And it's been very interesting to be in a what we affectionately call a tie-ority, because we don't get to have, you know, the like this bill is not a DFL bill. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things I really don't love in this bill. The GOP said as much yesterday in the committee, mm-hmm. too. Like, they don't love this bill either. And as I tell my children, compromise means that everyone's unhappy. And that's basically, you know, what all of our pieces of legislation are coming from St. Paul this year, because in the House, we have a tie. So that also is why we're here in overtime.
Sure.
You know, not officially in overtime. We're not in a special session yet, but trying to wrap up these bills, and it's been extra difficult because, yeah, working together and coming to compromise is hard.
So, mm-hmm. kind of two questions. This committee, or the working group, consists of both senators and representatives, I assume, of both parties.
Correct.
And what's the next steps, really, for your group? Because I assume this is what all these other working groups and all the other budget bills are working on right mm-hmm. now, too. Mm-hmm. So, what do you do next as a group?
My understanding, mm-hmm. and I've never done special session before, the last 2 years with the DFL trifecta, we didn't have to go into extra innings, so this is kind of new to me, but what I've been told is the next step is then, this just kind of lines us up for a special session. Mm-hmm. So the idea is we have all of our work done. Commerce Work Group yesterday similarly had a public-facing meeting. This just positions us to show the governor, hey, we're done with this part of the budget. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as far as the work that I'm doing, he can call a special session now. He's not going to do that till all the work is done on all the committees. So my understanding is that the next step is that a special session gets called. Mm-hmm. And then we go back into the chamber and we pass the bills that are now ready to go.
Which each committee has been working Correct. On, much like this environmental bill, much education,
yes. yep.
Human, you know, health and human services, right? Yep. So, okay. Well, and what? Yeah, here we are.
here we are. Indeed. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah.
I'm learning this as we go.
Another thing is, you know, now that the legislature is done with its regular session, mm-hmm. you know, you'll go back for a brief special session, but you're kind of done as a legislator for a minute in the actual session portion.
In that building up there in
that
St.
building,
Paul.
Yeah, yep. in the being in session. The Minnesota Constitution, you know, has this as a seasonal part-time legislature, mm-hmm. which is kind of common amongst our Midwest neighbors here, right?
Michigan just moved to full time.
Yeah, Iowa. It was interesting. We had an Iowa state rep in college kind of talk about a similar experience. You're going to talk a little bit now. What do you do as a part time legislator? I mean, like, you've got the rest of the year. I assume there's still legislative work that you end up doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your summer, fall, and winter.
Yes. So we passed a resolution that the House will go back into official session February 17th, I believe,
of next year.
Of yeah. next year. Mm-hmm. I believe that is the latest maybe ever.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely later than usual, yeah.
Yes. So last year we started February 12th, mm-hmm. which I remember in its approximation to my birthday. So February 17th, and everyone was like, this is the latest we've ever gone back. And now here we are, February 17th. Between now and then, I mean, I basically need to spend a day a week at a minimum mm-hmm. doing legislative work. So that's mm-hmm. checking in with my assistant who's helping me stay on top of emails, mm-hmm. scheduling meetings for me when I'm invited to come. Like this week I spoke, Reuse Minnesota was in Northfield visiting right across the street here looking at different communities and how they do reuse, how they, reduce our dependency on like single use plastics and things. So they're in my community. So they invited me to come and speak to the group. And of course, that was the one day I needed to be in the work group in St. Paul. So I joined them over Zoom, mm-hmm. Meeting with city councilors or the mayor to talk about different local initiatives that might try to seek state funding, if there's, you know, a ribbon cutting or a groundbreaking or something of that nature, you know, that's all part of the job, meeting with constituents, meeting with different groups of people. I've had to reschedule a town hall. All of those things, I will say, as a part-time legislator, I mean, I work at this job full-time. I get paid part-time, and I don't get paid a dime more for anything outside of session. So people need to go back to their regular jobs because a lot of folks have work outside of the legislature because it doesn't pay a living wage, especially if you are a single-income household or you have children still at home, or both, in my case. It does not pay the bills necessarily. So, so you know, going back to other work, figuring out some gig economy work, which again, like it's, I can't go back to a full-time job like, you know, when I was at the Clean River Partners, because to be executive director there, that requires a full-time year-round person. So that's not fair to the organization, which is why I stepped down after I, you know, finished my first election.
And for context to our listeners, I just Googled this now, and it's, so this is from the Minnesota State Legislature's website, set July 1st, 2023 by the Legislative Salary Council. A legislator's salary is $51,750 per year. So,
and we got that raise when I started. I can't remember what percent increase in pay.
Because it was $30,000. Six years ago. I know that. So it has been a significant raise, but you're right. And that's that's a lot to
live
stretch.
In Northfield, where I love and is my community, but the rent I pay is more than 50% of my salary.
So. But also trying to find that seasonal work, that is especially challenging. And when there are just unknowns within your job where you
I don't know when I have to go back.
Right.
Is it next week?
Yeah.
Is it 2 weeks?
That's really hard to navigate.
I am curious too. So, and this might be, I'm going to use this example and maybe you can connect it to something else if you do that. There are times when legislators go on like tours around the state for like the bonding bill, for example, to go see projects, right? I've seen photos of like the Star Tribune getting all the legislators getting on a bus and going around a statewide tour. Is that something that maybe it's not for the bonding bill or something else, but like, is there committee hearings you end up still having to go to or other things throughout the summer and fall that as a legislators still do, even though they're not in session, but it's like an informational kind
of
thing?
Absolutely. So, in the interim between the 23 and 24 sessions, that's exactly right. The bonding committee, who the committee itself has a budget, so they're able to put people up in hotels, rent the bus, probably give them a per diem per day because it's work. Though that committee goes all over the state. And for example, that first interim that I had, I met that committee out at a project in Forest Township, I think, or maybe it was Bridgewater Township. So I met them.
Sure.
It's in my district. I got to see some of my, you know, colleagues from both sides of the aisle, talk with the different agency staff who were there, myself get to learn more about that project. I didn't get, you know, additional payment for that. We do have a per diem. I think it's either 15 or 20 days over the course of how many months is it between now and February? 8 months. So like there are 20 days. We'll just say, I don't know the exact number of per diem that I can claim. But you know, those get used up.
And all of this is to really just give people a better picture of the fiscal realities that our representatives have to deal with. And
I think people assume it's like, oh, I know who you are, so you must be, you know, getting enough pay. And so I feel like a little bit of a squeaky wheel. I know I've talked about this more than once in this chair. But the financial realities for someone like me who has kids at home, who's single income family, that's not what this job was structured for. This job was structured for older, wealthier people. Maybe they're retired. They're definitely empty nesters. So trying to make it more of a representative democracy.
Yeah, exactly. People who are out there working day to day, people who are dealing with the challenges of our economy, our society. And, you know, it's like, I think of an example my grandfather told me once about a local representative he helped campaign for. This man was a farmer, mm-hmm. right? And he was someone who had already established himself, had already built up his business. And so he was able to step away, and yep. especially because he had his family totally. And other part-time workers to kind of take care of his farming operation while he was away in session. And then he got to come back to his life. And that's great for that person, but that's not everybody's reality.
Exactly.
And especially these days where, I mean, how many people live on farms anymore? You know, this is back in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. So it's like times have changed. Our economy and realities have changed. And people need to realize that state representation, it's not quite as glamorous high paying as people might assume.
No. And it's it's a huge honor and a responsibility I take very seriously.
Absolutely.
And I just like to elucidate some of the realities, like when I mm-hmm. talk to the college students, they're surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed, indeed. Well, we're gonna kind of wrap it up on a more positive note.
Yeah.
You wanna talk about your favorite hockey team, I assume, and one of my favorite hockey yeah. teams. Maybe my favorite Minnesota team at this point, since they're the only one that seems to
especially
do
this
any
week,
good.
We will yes. be really excited about the Minnesota Frost back to back championships. So far in a league of six teams, the Minnesota Frost is the only team that has won mm-hmm. the championship. So
indeed.
we're 2-for-2. Mm-hmm. I did not go on Monday to what ended up being the final game at the Xcel Energy Center, but I took my family on Saturday and we went to see the three overtimes. I mean, we basically got a double hockey game. So exciting. So much fun. I'm just so thrilled for our Minnesota Frost Walter Cup champions again. I cannot wait. We have a reason to invite them back into the chamber. We got to have them in the House of Representatives to congratulate them. Gosh, we just did that, I think, in March. That's like Women's mm-hmm. History Month, because they're mm-hmm. making Women's History mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. our very eyes. So I'm excited to have an excuse to invite them back into the chamber to re-congratulate them. It was just so wonderful to get to be in the stands. And then I'm so happy they got to win it at home this year. And I had a lot of friends and colleagues who were at the game Monday. We were just watching from home. So congratulations, Minnesota Frost.
Nice.
And indeed, congratulations to the folks. That was State Representative Christy Purcell. Christy, we'll hear from you next whenever there's, probably next Friday or whenever there's more news from the
Who
state
knows?
Legislature.
I'll be back.
Indeed.
Thank you, Logan.
Indeed.
Thanks,
Christy.